Good evening all. My name is Staffan Jonsson and I work as a policy advisor at the cctld.se and hosting this event today. I'm happy to see so many of you here tonight because we do have this issue on the agenda for the Internet Dagarna conference every year. When I gave a speech 2 years ago, I think there were three or four people in the audience, so this is really encouraging to see. And I give this to the excellent speakers we have today. I'm really happy to welcome you all, four of you. We will listen to Yrjö Länsipuro, a former ambassador from Finland. You've been following the internet governance issue for several years. We are welcoming Gerard Ross, Senior Communications Manager at ISOC. We welcome Ashley Heinemann from NTIA, and we welcome Wim Degsel from CENTER, the organization for CCTLDs in Europe. This is what we actually invented a new word for this, and this is a semi-seminar, meaning that we will have the speeches, but we will not have the time for a very long discussion. We'll mainly have, depending on how fast you will be, but we will try to end this at 6 o'clock, not 6:30 as the program might say. So we'll give this 40 minutes, and I think there might be some questions and comments anyhow, but we'll try to keep this quite short. The rationale for the seminar, or the speeches actually, as we should call them, is to give comments on current internet governance issues, a very broad definition of what this will be about, and hopefully we will also have some more inspiring inspiring thoughts about the future internet governance regime. Where will it go from here? Where will the process lead us? So, I will start with inviting Yrjö Länsipuro to the stage to give your address on this issue. Can I speak from here? Yes, okay. Please do.
Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Indeed, as you said, Staffan, internet governance is a very wide concept, and it's also governance is a very difficult word to translate into many languages, which I maybe accounts for so much of the confusion that has reigned over the years when internet governance has been discussed. As you know, internet governance was the most difficult political issue in the World Summit of Information Society, Geneva and Tunis. Developing countries saw the existing situation as a sort of another sinister example of Western domination, and there were attempts to involve the United Nations and ITU and whatnot. A compromise was reached, as you know, three parts. ICANN was by default continuing what it was had been doing. Two other elements were Internet Governance Forum and enhanced cooperation. The IGF has proved to be a success. The other element, enhanced cooperation, I guess it's pretty much dead in the water. And meanwhile, in the real world, what has happened is that the ICANN-NTIA relationship has dramatically changed from that time. First from the prescriptive MOUs to a more relaxed JPA, Joint Project Agreement, and then a month ago to a joint affirmation of commitments. Now, and I would say that against the background of the fairly divisive debates last summer and earlier this year about what should come after JPA, it was a relief that the APA was actually replaced by an affirmation of commitments, which a very logical step after the MOUs and JPA towards the original goal, which was the transition of the coordination of the Internet's unique identifiers to the private sector, understood now, even expressis verbis, understood as a multi-stakeholder, private sector-led organization, that is IGAN. Now, in this affirmation of contents, commitments, IGAN commits itself to various improved practices in a more concrete and focused version of the 10-point affirmation of responsibilities, which IGAN board accepted as part of the JPA. And interestingly, there are many references to public interest as the guiding principle of whatever IGAN is doing. And this document very clearly says that nothing in this affirmation should be construed as control by any one entity. So instead of accountability to one certain entity, IGAN will now be accountable to the entire community through four reviews. The review teams will be composed by of volunteer members of the communities, with the chairs of IGAN board and the chair of the governmental advisory committee having a key role in this selection. Now, this arrangement, if I put on my old GAC hat, governmental advisory committee hat, this arrangement puts the chair of the governmental advisory committee almost on an equal footing with the chair of the IGAN board and enhances the role of the GAC as a whole. And from the GAC perspective, another positive development related to this is that a joint board GAC working group has finally been set up to define the GAC relation to IGAN, how it advises IGAN, how it interacts with the board and with the various organizations. A very important fact is also that the membership of the GAC is now becoming more and more universal. China is back in the membership, and what I understand is that Russia is also contemplating joining the GAC. All these developments have strengthened the view that governments should play their role, their internet governance role, via the governmental advisory committee from the inside of IGAN organization, and not through either an existing intergovernmental organization like ITU or a newfangled one like G12, which was suggested by Commissioner Reding some time ago. Of course, when you set up new teams, like these review teams, it's only human that that people start thinking of who will be there, and of course that who will get in is many times more important, more interesting than the substance itself. I fully agree with Yanis Karklins, who is the head of the governmental advisory committee, when he said in Seoul that the main thing in the AOC are commitments, and these reviews are just means to see that the commitments have been met. So a lot of work remains to be done, and pretty quickly, on the selection methodology and other modalities of the reviews, because the first review should be concluded already at the end of next year. So internet governance in the narrow sense seems to be in good shape and on the right track, but in a larger sense, there we have the Internet Governance Forum, and it would be very important that it would continue its work after the initial 5 years, that is to say, in 2011. Thank you.
Shall we continue? Thank you, Yuri. We will rush on. for the next speaker. Let's see.
Thanks, Stefan, and hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. Since we're gathered at Internet Dagener, I think it's worth reflecting for a moment that the Internet works basically because people have chosen to make it work, and they collaborate for that to happen. And that's always been the case right from the beginning. There's never been a central body that it's dictated the way that the Internet moves forward. There's no central plan for it. Rather, right from the beginning, people came together and they collaborated to solve common problems. And through processes of consensus, they formed common positions to move forward. And really, we call this the Internet model of development. And it comprises a common set of operating values. So it's things such as open standards, which themselves are developed openly, freely accessible processes, transparent governance, distributed responsibilities, and these values are all shared by all the different sorts of organizations and individuals and companies and communities that help develop the Internet. This is just an attempt to show some of those different functional areas and where some of those different sorts of responsibilities are distributed. If we step through to the next diagram, which I know you probably can't really read from out there, hopefully you can have a look on the website later on. And if you do, what you'll see is the Internet Society's attempt to give an idea of the different sorts of organizations and functions that interconnect to help take on these different responsibilities for evolving the Internet. And it is a complex system, one that we've started calling the Internet ecosystem. But what you won't see in there is any centralized form of control. And really, the Internet Society's view is that these things, the Internet model together with the Internet ecosystem, this is the most essential thing for innovation and success of the Internet. This is what has allowed it to grow so quickly and to respond to so many different sorts of changing environments. Without a central plan, and with things such as interoperable standards, and processes of consensus, it's meant that innovation has been able to happen at the edges, from everywhere. And it's often quite surprising and disruptive. So for example, a new game-changing service like Twitter was not the result of some central plan somewhere. Rather, it was a small company of developers who were looking to find a better way of getting their word out. And they were smart enough to also open up their system to allow their own user base to get involved in the development and innovation. As I say, other changes that come from the edges can be extremely disruptive of existing business practices. Something like Skype, for example, would be an example of that. So the Internet model, the Internet ecosystem, is a great engine for innovation, but of course looking at something like that, it raises the obvious question. So where do we go to talk about this full spectrum of activities? So these days, the Internet Governance Forum is the best known international venue for doing that, but it's still quite a relatively new organization. Before IGF, there was, of course, the WISIS, the UN's World Summit on the Information Society. And of course, like other forms of intergovernmental instrument, it was hampered by the types of protocols and practices that characterize such events. So there were issues of who could be accredited to even attend. How do you recognize people to be able to speak? There's formal seating arrangements, and also delegations come along and tend to make formal, lengthy submissions rather than actually engaging in genuine dialogue on issues. One interesting thing that did arise out of WISIS, though, was, as we've just heard, the call for the United Nations to develop something new, something different, and create a forum that actually was about bringing in different voices and different groups of stakeholders. WISIS also gave us a convenient definition of internet governance, the development and application by governments, the private sector, civil society and their respective roles, shared principles, norms, rules, decision-making procedures and programs that shape the use of the internet. There are other definitions around, but I think the thing that's striking about this and the others is that they make very clear that governance is not the sole province of governments. So the IGF was created specifically, as we say, to bring in more people, more voices. And part of its structure involves what's called the multi-stakeholder advisory group, where governments, private sector and civil society they help form the agenda and drive forward the organisation. The IGF doesn't have the power to make any decisions. So what that means is that the participants who go there, they're able to speak freely with each other, knowing that they can explore issues in a non-binding way. There's no threat to any national sovereignty in discussions at the IGF. And the other important feature of the IGF is that it specifically is directed not to try to duplicate the roles of existing internet organisations. So it has a 5-year mandate. 3 meetings have already been held. One is happening this month. The 5th and final one will happen next year, Lithuania. But ongoing at the moment, there is this process, as we've heard, to evaluate whether the IGF should continue on into the future. This is just a high-level view of the main issues on the agenda for this meeting, and I don't think we need to go through them now for time's sake, but I did want to draw attention to the fact that as the IGF has developed, the way in which it has addressed issues has also been developing. An interesting evolution this year is that they've looked at the different sorts of topics that are normally discussed and evaluated them into 3 different categories, depending on how much agreement or otherwise there is on those sorts of topics. And that really then has implications for the most effective ways of discussing them. So I'd encourage folks who are interested to go to the IGF website and look at the full range of workshops and panels and other discussions that are taking place in a couple of weeks. One of the common criticisms of the IGF from various people is that it's just a talk shop. At the Internet Society, we believe that the people who are saying that, the people who are levelling that criticism, have really just misunderstood the fundamental point of what it's all about. And that, as we said before, it's really an ideal ground, a neutral place where people can come together and explore issues. Rather than seeing it as a threat to traditional governance, I think governments can really see it as a tremendous resource where they are actually able to go along and learn from other governments, other stakeholders, other groups around the world to explore ideas in these non-binding ways and to see how they may be brought back home and developed in their own context. So the Internet Society believes that it's also important because it marks an important evolution in the models of engaging on important, complex public issues. For one thing, governments through this process are more exposed to a range of opinions and different processes for getting the views that they need to make informed policy decisions. On the other hand, the internet community organisations themselves now have a much better idea of the sorts of things that governments are concerned with and why those concerns need to be taken seriously. And again, as I say, it's a great platform for exploring ideas, generating new ones. I don't know whether we'd say it's the influence of the IGF or whether it's the principles behind the IGF that are starting to influence other things, but we can now see a lot of regional IGFs springing up around the world. Small country or region-based organisations that are holding these meetings, which serve as a good preparation for the main event at the IGF, but they're also in their own right an excellent opportunity for those smaller communities to gather together different stakeholders and explore their own issues. In other fields, we can also see in the OECD, for example, after a successful meeting last year, that the OECD have now created a formal process for increasing the amount of stakeholder participation in discussions of internet policy development. And for people who want to explore that, I'd recommend you have a look at the Internet Technical Advisory Committee website for a bit more detail. So just to sum up, the Internet Society believes that internet governance is a very important thing. But because the internet is for everybody, then as many voices as possible need to be heard in the processes that develop internet policy. The IGF is important because it shows a real evolution in the way that these issues are tackled. It is a change to the traditional top-down hierarchical approach for these sorts of things. So we can expect that there will continue to be a lot of pushback on this, but as a community of people who use the internet and develop the internet in different ways, it's really up to all of us to defend the principles behind this form of engagement and move forward from there. Thank you.
Thank you. We're having a nice pace here. We're quite fast, and we'll hopefully have some time for discussion as well. So I'll speed on and introduce Wim Degsel.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Wim Degsel. I'm working for Center, and I will give you a really brief overview of what we in the CCTLD community think about internet governance. I'm really happy that you explained a lot about the Internet Governance Forum, because I was expecting that somebody before me would do that, so I cut that part out. But I would have gotten problems if it hadn't been mentioned before me. Quick overview, I will just present what Center is, give you an overview of the CCTLD policy models, what it means, and the relation to the local internet community, and then talk a little bit about internet governance, and to end with Center view and what Center is doing at the Internet Governance Forum. Just two slides. I don't know how many of you know Center. Center is the European CCTLD organization. We are happy that .se is one of our members. Probably that's why we are invited to come and speak here. So Center is the world's largest CCTLD organization. We bring together the CCTLD managers. As you see, we have 48 full members. Full members are CCTLD registries. So although we say we have European focus, our organization is a little bit broader than just the European Union. The meaning of Center for its members is that we bring them together, they talk, they exchange information, they exchange best practices. If you say internet governance, the world, what is it? I mean, it's just answering the question, how should the internet be run and how should the internet be managed? If you bring that down to the CCTLD community, to the local CCTLD, government of the local CCTLD, which is an important part of an important function within your local internet community, you have the observation that the CCTLD landscape is very diverse and you have a variety of policy models. The way how the CCTLD registry is organized in Belgium, in Sweden, in Switzerland is different. There are different kinds of organizations. They have, from time to time, different policy rules. And this is important to know, that each CCTLD has grown from the bottom to the top and has developed its own policy models, has developed its own rules, based on its local internet community, based on the needs of their local community, based on the local culture, based on the country. If you make a step higher now to internet governance, let's say on a more global level, then you have to agree, yeah, if you start and look the best, what's best for the local CCTLD, for the local internet community, and you build up, then at a certain moment you say, yeah, you have those different models. So we have to conclude that, well, it's difficult to work with one policy model, to work with one way things should be organized. Therefore, I mean, it's used in different areas, but also if we like to use the sentence, one size doesn't fit all. There is a variety of models and we have to respect them. So if you use this as a kind of premise for internet policy, what can we learn if we discuss on a global level internet governance? You have to do that with respect for those local differences, with respect for the different approaches in the different CCTLD communities, respect for the different approaches in the different internet communities. It's not only, I mean, it's CCTLD community as an example, but I think you can look to it in a broader theme and say, okay, the way people deal and look at internet Belgium in Europe will be different than they do in India, it will be different than they do in the United States, it will be different than they do in Mexico, for example. But the importance is that we are open, that we are able to learn from each other, and that we are able to share our best practices, share our good practices, show to each other, okay, this is how we did it in our country. And for us, we think that's a good practice. We think that this is our way to do it. But we have to explain it. We don't have to say, okay, now you have to do it. Everybody has to do it this way. Explain why you did it. Making a little jump now to, it was mentioned before, the general principles on internet governance that were discussed at the WSIS in laid down in Tunis agenda. Then you see that there is some general agreement that internet governance should be multilateral, transparent, democratic, and based on a multi-stakeholder approach. I think this fits a little bit in the message I was, or the story I was telling before. The next step was the Internet Governance Forum. We, I think, within the CCTLD community, and especially within Centre, we have agreed, or we agree, that the Internet Governance Forum, as it was presented before, has proven to be a unique forum where it was possible to exchange ideas, where it was possible to learn from each other approaches. Just because the IGF brings together those different stakeholders to discuss internet governance. Because you bring the people together in a not traditional way. I mean in a not traditional way because you don't expect them to agree at the end of a meeting, at the end of the 4-day meetings of the IGF, to agree on a text, so they are not really, there's not the usual fight to come to a compromise at the end. It's an open discussion, people are able to learn from each other. That's also the reason why Centre has been participating in all the four, in all the three IGF meetings and is participating again in the fourth meeting, I think in 2 weeks, 1.5 week. Because we want to inform the audience about the TLD and the CCTLD community. We want to tell the story I told in the beginning of my presentation, that there is a variety of TLD models, a variety of ways to run a CCTLD, but that we have to look at the best practices, not at the differences, but see why the different CCTLD models choose their way to do and look if we can learn from each other. We have organized in the previous IGF meetings a number of workshops that were particularly dealing with, okay, so let the audience see what different types of CCTLD models are existing. Now for the IGF in next week or in 1.5 week, we will try to explain the introduction and the use of the usefulness of the introduction of top-level IDNs. Again, back from starting, okay, it's the local internet community you have to look at. And it is the local internet community that will be served with a top-level IDN, because then they are able to use the internet for their local community in their local script. People that will be attending the IGF, you are invited. We are really lucky because our workshop is planned for the 16th of November, and that's exactly the same date as ICANN took for the launch of the IDN fast track process. So the launch of the process, well, let's say it that way, they put the launch of the process for the introduction or the application for IDNs, top-level IDNs at the top level, so in the national script, at the same day at the Centre workshop. It was mentioned before, there is the meeting next week, and the next year there is an IGF meeting in Vilnius. After that, there is there is an evaluation process going on. After that, it is the United Nations who has to decide on whether there is a continuation of the Internet Governance Forum and under which form. Centre is one of the organizations that submitted a contribution for that process, And Center supports the continuation of the Internet Governance Forum. We want the IGF to be maintained as a non-negotiating open discussion forum with as main aim to educate and to collaborate and to give information on what is happening and to discuss with each other. One of two things that we think could be really useful to make it, let's say, a little bit more concrete, is that there is a follow-up process, that there is after not you have one forum and another forum in the next year, but that is, there is a kind of follow-up, and that there is more information given on, okay, what was discussed, so that it could be used or could be spread around the world from, okay, there has been discussions on these and these topics. A second point we would like to advise is, okay, there is a big part of the community that doesn't have the funds to travel from one side to the world every time, so we could do something more to attract those people to enlarge the community we are discussing internet governance with by having a better remote participation. And at last, last question we ask in our submission is, okay, maybe there should be a little bit bigger secretariat for the Internet Governance Forum so that it could produce some kind of reports and, kind of organize the information, spread of information in between the IGF meetings. So this was my short overview. Thank you for your attention, and maybe if there is time for discussion and questions, I will be happy to answer.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. And as our last, but not least, speaker, Ashley Heinemann from the NTIA, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce what that actually stands for, but it is the governing agency under the Department of Commerce in
the
U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
Shall the I National Telecommunications and Information Administration.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's see if we can switch this out. I hadn't planned on actually showing my slides, so I apologize in advance for a sloppy slide deck, but I thought it might be helpful to actually show them. Okay, so for my presentation, I hope not to duplicate too much of the content that's already been stated here. And basically, everything that I'm going to be saying is through the lens of what the current U.S. administration, what our thoughts are with respect to internet governance. I'm going to talk about internet governance in general, as well as the IGF and our relationship with ICANN and the recent announcement of the Affirmation of Commitments document. I think all topics have been touched on already to some extent, so I'll go quickly. One thing that wasn't mentioned with respect to internet governance is, what is it? Is there a definition? From the view of the U.S. government, we don't feel there ever should be a definitive definition of what internet governance is, because the issues will change. It's a broad term used in many different contexts, covering a wide range of issues. I've listed a number of issues here. I would guess that in the next 5 years, there will be a different set of issues. The issues will evolve as the internet evolves. But just for the sake of examples, the privacy protection, connectivity and development, freedom of expression, protecting children online, security issues, critical internet resources. So there's a lot more here than just the domain name system or IP addressing. There's a wide range, there's a number of different forms involved as already been presented here. With respect to the Internet Governance Forum, the U.S. government was a little bit shy at first with the concept, and I guess most governments probably were. Being that the intent of the IGF was to bring together a multi-stakeholder policy dialogue bringing together not only governments, but industry and civil society. It is not a governmental negotiating forum and has no decision-making authority. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. That allows for the opportunity for true global multi-stakeholder dialogue and the opportunity to share experiences and visions that support continued evolution and expansion of the internet. Won't go into detail here, just a listing of the past IGF meetings as well as those coming up. So the views of the U.S. administration on IGF, as I mentioned, we were probably a bit shy in the previous administration with this new idea of another forum looking at internet governance issues. But over the years and with the successful IGFs that have taken place, it's our view that the IGF structure has proven to be a valuable format for information sharing and international dialogue. The flexible structures, whether it be open forums or workshops, have evolved into dynamic mechanisms that effectively facilitate the exchange of information and best practices among and between stakeholders. This administration, we support the continuation of the IGF past the initial five-year mandate. I think that was mentioned a couple of times, and my understanding is that a decision at least will be teed up at this next IGF, and I think, well, I know our administration is supportive of the continuation of the IGF, at least in its current structure, which is a multi-stakeholder process. It makes the IGF a unique environment for a constructive and open exchange of ideas without the limitations or the awkwardness imposed by the pressures of negotiation. Also seeing the rise of national and regional IGFs. The U.S. actually had their own IGF a couple of weeks ago, fairly successful. It's a way for, whether as a region or as a nation, get together and determine what your views are on internet governance and how you wish to solve and address them. So talking about ICANN, I'm going to switch gears to the DNS. I mentioned that the issues surrounding the domain name system and IP addressing is not what internet governance is. That's not the only focus. There's quite a bit there, but we do recognize that DNS issues is important and has historically been a large part of the discussion within internet governance. The U.S. government has had a special role, mostly because of a historical anomaly, but ICANN was created in 1998. It was an initiative of the U.S. in consultation with our domestic industry, and foreign governments, and the technical community. I think we all know what ICANN's all about, first and foremost, the technical coordination of the domain name system. You can read the mission statement here if you will. So the basis of the U.S. government's relationship with ICANN started off as a memorandum of understanding, then became the joint project agreement. This joint project agreement was set to expire in September 2009, and in anticipation of this expiration, NTI issued what we call a notice of inquiry. This was in April earlier this year, seeking input on ICANN's progress under the JPA, but also the private sector-led model that ICANN represents. The record that came out of this NOI revealed strong support for the multi-stakeholder, private sector-led approach, but continuing concerns about ICANN's transparency and accountability in decision-making. So we faced a situation where we had support for ICANN in the model, still lingering concerns about the way business is undertaken within ICANN. The Department of Commerce decided to enter into discussions with ICANN, and what we came up with and announced on September 30, 2009 was this affirmation of commitments. The intention here was to establish a long-lasting framework for the technical coordination of the DNS. It effectively ended the JPA and completes the transition of the technical management of the DNS to ICANN. Key elements include an endorsement of this multi-stakeholder, private sector-led model, a new commitment by ICANN to act in the interest of the global internet users, the public interest. This has never been articulated before, at least not in with respect to our relationship with ICANN. It also works to establish mechanisms to address security and stability of the DNS, promote competition, consumer trust, and choice, and the establishment of timelines for continual reviews of how ICANN executes these core tasks. In terms of these reviews, there's four subjects for the ongoing reviews. First is ensuring accountability, transparency, and the interest of global internet users. The second is preserving security and stability of the Internet DNS, promoting competition, consumer trust, consumer choice, and also meeting the needs of law enforcement and consumer trust in connection with who is implementation, recognizing that there's national laws and potential for conflict. So probably the biggest takeaway that NTIA and the Department of Commerce likes to leave people with when it comes to this affirmation of commitments, it's not necessarily all about the reviews. There are the means to the end. The primary goal is that to set a number of tasks, a number of areas of commitment for ICANN to be cognizant of, to hold itself accountable to the community, to do its best to further accountability and transparency as an institution, and reaching high-quality decisions that serve the public and have the confidence of the global internet community. So I think that's where I've left it. Hopefully that wasn't too high level, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. So, thank you, Ashley. We have passed our intended time for this meeting, but I will urge you to pose a couple of questions or comments if you have any. Please raise your hand if you're interested in giving comments. I will pose a question to the four of you. Is there a microphone for is the microphone down here? Is there a consensus that the IGF should continue after 2010? Do you all agree on that the IGF should continue after 2010? It's almost a yes and no answer. So
I think the Internet Society's position would be that that the IGF is an important venue for discussing these things, and that's either the IGF or something like that is going to be needed.
Well, I already gave more or less the answer that we would be happy to have the IGF continued. Although, I mean, if you continue it after 5 years, you have to evaluate what has happened. So that doesn't mean that you have to congo, for example, from a forum each year to a kind of forum every 2 years, or you can think about some more regional working coming together, regional working 1 year and then coming together in a global forum the next year. I mean, but anyhow, the general principle of the IGF as an open multi-stakeholder forum should be kept.
I would agree with previous comments, but also add on to that we would support the continuation of the IGF under its current structure, the way it's been created to be, which is multi-stakeholder, not government-led. Government's one of the participants, but it's intended for a true open dialogue without negotiation, without decision-making, because the whole purpose is to bring people, institutions together to discuss ideas and think outside the box.
Yeah, my answer personally is an emphatic yes, but furthermore I can say that also the European Union is on record supporting the continuation of the IGF.
Oh, so we have a full consensus for this, at least from people in this room and the European Union. Okay, so let's wrap this up with an applause for the speakers once again. Thank you, everybody.